Betty, you're a nurse as well as a knitter, and the two seem to go together for you in a very unique way. Tell us first about your medical background.
My medical background is in healthcare, mostly pediatrics. I'm a registered nurse, and I've primarily worked in neurodevelopmental pediatrics, which is children with brain injuries, spinal cord injuries, strokes, and other types of neurological diversity. And I've also worked with adults with neurological issues, usually from an illness or an injury, like a stroke or multiple sclerosis and those types of things. And during that experience, I became very fascinated with the concept of neuroplasticity and the ability of the brain to rewire itself.
I was going to ask you about that. Maybe you can go into a little bit more depth there on how does the brain rewire itself into what? New habits or how to handle anxiety? How does that work?
The brain is actually able to recreate pathways, new pathways, when we have a novel experience or learn a new task. And we can either build on existing pathways or actually create new pathways through repetition of those tasks.
And there's our segue to knitting, because there's a lot of repetition in that. So now tell us about your background with knitting and crocheting. How did you get interested in that?
Like many of us, I learned to crochet from my grandmother. Prior to that, I'd experimented a little bit with loom knitting and with spool knitting. And when she felt I was old enough, she taught me how to crochet. And then I could hardly wait until I was old enough to join 4-H. And in 4-H, I took knitting for a few years. And I've been knitting and crocheting off and on since then.
And now we're going to look at how your medical background and your love of knitting come together.
When I suddenly had the opportunity to look for a new job and new work, I began to think about whether I could combine those two interests and passions of mine into something that would continue to improve the health and well-being of others.
And that led to KnitWell?
Correct. I attended a series of classes at GROW, Grand Rapids Organization for Women, and learned how to start my own business and the basics of entrepreneurship. And although I had never considered such an endeavor before, it began to look very appealing because I could do two things that I love and still influence people.
So anxiety is something that can be alleviated with knitting and or crocheting. How does that part work? What aspects of knitting and crocheting relax us or rewire our brains?
There are a couple of aspects. One of them is the repetitive rhythmic movement. Many of us use repetitive movement like pacing or rocking, tapping, to calm ourselves when we're stressed or traumatized. Mm. And there are many stories of people who've replaced an anxiety crutch with knitting or crochet because they like the repetitive parts of it. Another way it helps is anxiety. Sometimes people feel exposed when they're in the public place. And the act of knitting and holding the hands together in front of the body creates the sensation of having this little bubble of personal space and comfort around you. So that can be very helpful in a threatening or anxiety-producing situation.
Ah, it's almost like a little barrier between you and the world around you, a little safety thing there. That's interesting.
Exactly. Ah. So sometimes you might see people knitting or crocheting on the bus.
Right.
Sometimes it's because that setting might be anxiety producing for them and they just feel a little bit safer being inside of that little bubble.
And does it help too that it gives you something else to look at if you're uncomfortable making eye contact?
Exactly. One of the great things about knitting is knitters all know that eye contact is optional. It's perfectly fine to go to a knitting group and just sit there and knit and not say a whole lot except a hello and goodbye.
Tell me how these meetings of KnitWell happen. Do you all sit silently around and in your safety bubbles, or do you talk to each other, or is it presented as a class? How does it work?
There's several different aspects One of them is private lessons. I do private lessons for people who are either beginning or intermediate knitters and crocheters. And then I also do group lessons for people who want to learn a new skill together. Those are usually in groups of a maximum of four people. Or I also have a meetup group that's for people who like to do or want to do social knitting. And that group is all about supporting one another and encouraging each other with our projects. And that is very much a social setting. We meet in a public place, usually in a coffee shop or in the garden, in a park if it's nice weather, or at a brewery. We even had one on a riverboat cruise this summer.
Oh, fun.
And we're hoping to have one at a ball game next summer.
Oh.
So it's kind of based on suggestions from the group of where they would like to go to sit and knit together and enjoy each other's company.
And usually how many people do you have there?
Right now there are 270 members in the group.
Wow.
But generally 8 or 10 members come to each meetup.
Oh, okay. Wow. Big drop off there.
Yeah.
But still, that sounds like a comfortable group. So does it tend to be quiet? Well, if you're at a baseball game, it's going to be quiet. But if you're, say, in a brewery or a coffee shop, does it tend to be a conversational thing, or is it quiet, or does it really depend on who shows up?
It depends on who shows up and how much they want to talk. Sometimes I've had people who come up to me after the meeting and say something like, I was having a really introverted day today, and they may not have done much talking. Other people are very social, so it's very dependent on the group members. We welcome everyone to the group. We all use name tags for new members so that they don't have to try to remember our name. And then we talk a little bit about our projects if we want to. We have people quite often come up to us in the coffee shop who are customers, or in the brewery who are there for their own personal reasons. And often they'll come up, share with us their knitting stories, or encourage us, or usually generates conversation with other customers as well.
I bet it does. Yeah. Well, so much for staying quiet. Have you ever had a patient that then comes to your Knitwell group? Do the two overlap?
That's a great question. I have not had that yet, but wouldn't it be great?
You need to start wearing a button or something that says Knitwell. Ask me about.
I should.
Yeah. What kind of things do you knit? Do people choose their own projects, or does it vary from pot holders to textured sweaters, or how does that part work?
When I do my classes, for the beginner classes, I encourage people just to start with a practice project that isn't necessarily going to be anything. And then we kind of keep track of mistakes, although I don't think there are any mistakes in knitting and crochet, they all become an authentic piece of art. But that's a good way for them to do the practice and repetition that it takes to have consistent stitches, as well as be able to recognize and fix some mistakes. First projects are usually something that they're going to use. I recommend that it be relatively small and help them with selecting a pattern if they need help. The people in the group are all skill levels. We have knitters who have been knitting for just a couple of months to people who have been knitting for 40 plus years. Sometimes I ask them to write down the years of experience that they have. And I think we average about 300 years of experience at a group.
Have you ever thought about doing an exhibit of what you produce?
We have not done that yet. We've talked about it a little bit. We've also talked about doing some group projects. But at this time, the people that attend regularly we don't have enough really to do a project, a long-term project.
You know, it occurs to me as I'm listening to you talk about Knitwell and how it can help with anxiety, I've heard about knitting programs in prisons where I imagine people get really stressed. And we're usually talking about men. I'm not just talking about women. We have that stereotypical view of women usually being the knitters, but that there's crocheting and knitting going on in stressful places like that. So they must know that too.
They do. The history of knitting is fascinating in that it started out really as a male occupation.
Really?
Somewhere, I think, after World War II, it transitioned over to women doing it.
I didn't know that.
It started as a male occupation. For example, the men who were fishermen often made their own sweaters.
Ah.
They were making nets, and they also made their own sweaters out of wool. And wool has lanolin in it, so it's a natural water repellent, and it's very durable and can be redone. So repairs could be made to the garment. It could be taken apart and remade. And it was very much a male thing to do. Also during the wars, the history of wars is that there were almost always knitters who supported soldiers, whether it was by making socks or making squares for blankets or making hats for under their helmets. Many countries, in fact, have knitting associations that support causes like soldiers or infants in the NICU or refugees, welcome blankets for refugees. Knitting has been kind of a intergeneration, intercultural exercise around the world.
You're opening up a whole new world for me. I had no idea about that history. That's absolutely fascinating. There's something very warm, too, literally and metaphorically, about knitting something for someone else.
Right.
My father's a dialysis patient, and the dialysis center tends to be quite chilly for hygienic purposes and to prevent bacteria and such. And there is a group of people out there who regularly knit and crochet afghans for the patients there. And when they get chilly, they ask for a blanket.
Yes, it's a wonderful example.
Yeah, and it makes you feel cared about, I think.
Yes, it makes you feel comforted.
So how can someone join Knitwell? Is there a cost involved, or how do you connect?
I have a website. It's just titled knitwell.net that people can contact me for lessons if they would like private or group lessons. The meetup group is actually on the meetup platform. It's called Grand Rapids Knitters. I'm pretty sure there's a knitting group in Kalamazoo as well. And anyone can go to the meetup group, just Google meetup and the city you're in, and it will bring up all the meetup groups that are happening in your area. And there is no cost to joining this one. I do ask for a donation just to support the continuation of use of the platform, but there's no cost other than that donation, which is not a requirement.
I was just thinking, knowing a little bit about your history, that you're not only a nurse in neurodevelopmental pediatrics, but you also had to switch sides and be a patient recently. Did knitting help you heal and deal with the stress of being a patient?
Absolutely. I take my knitting with me to every waiting room.
So how does it work, actually, the rewiring of the brain? It's
one of the things it does is releases serotonin. Repetitive movement, we know from use of technology that when we use repetitive movement with technology, at least, we kind of get into the flow and repetition. We just want to do it more. And part of the reason we want to do it more is because the hormone serotonin is released and that makes us feel better.
Mm.
The act of knitting actually does the same thing, and it helps us to improve mood and our sense of calmness. It actually reduces the blood levels of cortisol, which is the stress hormone. And as we become more familiar with that feeling, we can learn to recall the feeling even when we don't have knitting in our hands, for example. For my own benefit, when I was in a situation as a patient, if I were having a procedure done, for example, it helped me to relax just to think even about the stitches I was taking in a project, a lace project that I was making, which was a repetitive series of stitches. And I just imagined myself actually knitting them, and it helped me feel more calm and relaxed.
You're making me rethink about taking knitting up again. I had tried many years ago, and I think my biggest problem area was keeping the stitches even, where one day maybe I wasn't as relaxed and the stitches would get tight, and on another day when I'm more relaxed, they would get loose and the project would be uneven. Any quick hints on how to solve that problem?
Sure, I had that too, since my first project, my knitting instructor for 4-H had to help me get it off the needles. It was knitted on so tight. Now I think the best remedy is to do it repeatedly, to do it often enough to keep that motor memory intact. So I recommend that people do a little bit of knitting at least 3 or 4 times a week, just like exercise when they're first starting out. And then to expect that there are going to be some variations in the stitch size based on how you feel. I have that too. I have times when I knit tighter.
Do you still now, after all these years?
I have learned to knit socks 2 at a time because if I don't, one is larger than the other.
Oh, I love it. That makes me feel a little less stressed. I'm not the only one. Well, thank you so much, Betty. It's been a joy talking with you.
Thank you, Cinta. I appreciate the opportunity, and it's been my pleasure.